A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 33 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Friday, 26th March Dear Lord, you know that we live in a crazy and chaotic world. You also know our struggles in daily life. When life gets to be too much, please help us come to you. Calm our thoughts and emotions and open our hearts to your peace, comfort, and wisdom. Help us not to live in fear. Please reduce the feelings of fear and anxiety that plague us. Help us rest in you and trust you as we navigate through this broken world. In your name we pray. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from Hebrews 7, 15 to 22. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, "You are a priest forever," in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. In this passage, the writer to the Hebrews makes a comparison between the Jewish Aaronic priesthood and the priesthood of Jesus Christ that is linked to Melchizedek. He argues that the one was based on merely human and ancestral regulations, meanwhile that of Jesus is based on the power of a life that is indestructible. The reason he says this is because every single regulation that governed the old priesthood had to do with the priest's physical body. To be a priest, he must be a pure descendant of Aaron. And apart from that, there were 142 physical blemishes which might disqualify him. Some of them are detailed in Leviticus 21:16-23. So the Jewish priesthood was dependent on physical things. Character, ability, personality had nothing to do with it. But the new priesthood of Jesus is dependent on a life that is indestructible, a life that is not dependent on physical things, but on what he was in himself. Here was a revolution. It was no longer outward ceremonies and observances that made a priest, but inward worth and the qualities of love and compassion and grace that he embodied. Furthermore, there was another great change which had fundamental implications. The law was definite that all priests must belong to the tribe of Levi. They must be descendants of Aaron. But Jesus belonged to the tribe of Judah. Therefore, the very fact that he was the supreme priest meant that the law was cancelled. But the most crucial of all this is that Jesus can do what the old priesthood could never do. He can help us overcome the things that prevent us from approaching our Heavenly Father and give us access to Almighty God. Jesus Christ can help us overcome our fears. So long as people are terrified of God, they can never be at home with him. Jesus came to show us the infinite, tender love of the God whose name is Father, and help us deal with the awful fear of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We now know that God wants us to come home, not to punishment, but to the welcome of his open arms. And then Jesus can help us overcome the sinful habits that destroy us. And those habits are many in our lives. You can begin to imagine the one in your own life or the ones in your own life and learn that there is a bitter end to sin. Mel Trotter, the famous rescue mission worker, was the son of a bartender who drank as much as he served. Trotter followed in his father's footsteps, losing job after job because of his addiction to drinking and gambling. Each time he lost a job, he promised to reform and start doing better, but each time he failed. After the death of his baby son, Trotter made his way to Chicago, where he intended to drown himself in Lake Michigan. He had sold his shoes to get money for another drink and was walking barefoot through the snow towards his death when he went inside the Pacific Garden Mission and was saved. For the next 40 years, Trotter did everything he could to help those like himself who had fallen prey to the deceptively alluring temptations of sin. Satan's advertising is never realistic. He paints beautiful pictures of immediate pleasure, ignoring the real consequences that its participants must endure. If the beer companies ran ads filled with crashed cars, paralyzed drinkers, and the tiny caskets of babies killed by drunk drivers, it would not help them sell their product. So they focus on the beginning rather than the ending. But no matter how beautiful the temptation appears, it is only a cloak for the reality that sin always ends in pain and heartbreak and judgment. As the Apostle James said, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Oh, I like the New Living Translation. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. But Jesus on his cross made the perfect sacrifice which atones for sin. And on that cross, fear is gone, sin is conquered, and the way to God is opened. Dear friend, do you ever feel scared to approach God because of your sin? I think many people do. Listen to somebody's experience. I am feeling this way all the time. I struggle with self-hatred, and I think sometimes I project this onto God. So when I'm struggling or in sin, it's especially hard to force myself to pray. How can I overcome it? To which we reply, how can I? Dear friends, it is important to balance reverence for the omnipotent, perfect Creator with the intimacy God desires with all his children. Our sin is a barrier to intimacy with God. But he had a plan to remove that barrier. And that plan was fulfilled through Christ on the cross of shame. God loves us so much and thought we were important enough to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Satan wants us to ruminate over sin, but it will prevent us from accepting the grace of God. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the great high priest who has opened the way for us to our heavenly Father. But time and again we have remained in our sins and are ashamed to approach the throne of God's grace. Today we are in that place again on our knees, laying our lives out before you. Thank you that on the cross you cried, "It is finished." You have done it. Forgiveness is complete. We can live forever in your grace, forever in your love. So we ask now for your forgiveness, for the wrongs that we have done and the things that we have neglected. We ask for your forgiveness for the people we have hurt along the way and those we have failed to love as you love us. We ask for your forgiveness. We receive your forgiveness and resolve in our hearts that with your strength, we determine not to make these errors again. We receive your forgiveness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we walk away from everything we know to be wrong and embrace everything we know about you. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are always and forever yours. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.